Are you sure you read the right scripture?
No.
I mean, who picked that one out? No. Deny yourselves, carry a cross. What about, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden? It's Labor Day, right? That makes more sense. I like that scripture a whole lot better. That one sounds gentle, easier. I think that one would just be so, pick up a cross, carry it. Ah, that sounds hard. That sounds hard. No, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. And yet that's what is there. Is there. Sometimes, you know, things don't go the way we think they're going to go, and it just becomes difficult. The title of the sermon is where Peter, you know, says, you know, no, God, you know, God forbid, and Peter says, way wrong answer, okay? Did you guys ever see the movie Armageddon? All right, remember Bruce Willis? All right, because he catches the boyfriend and he's got the shotgun and everything, and the boyfriend's trying to get out of trouble. He says, but I love her. And Bruce Willis says, way wrong answer. And he tries to shoot at him and everything like that. It doesn't go well sometimes. You know, you give the wrong answer, there can be repercussions. And Jesus, you know, reprimands Peter has an epic failure. You ever see epic failures? You ever see how that can work out? Yesterday, the TV, Diana showed me this clip on, I think it was on the Today Show or something, and it's a wedding. They have people in weddings. What are they called? Best man and maid of honor. All right, so they have this best man, and he's coming down the sidewalk, and then the maid of honor, I guess she was supposed to, like, leapfrog over his back or do a flip or a dance or something. I don't know what they were supposed to do, but it was a disaster, all right? And I was like, wow, that didn't work. That was an epic failure, you know. It happens. Epic failures happen in churches. In churches, epic failures. There was an associate minister one time was in charge of the church's new pledge campaign. Churches raising money, and he thought, oh, I've got this great idea. I'll have these T-shirts printed up. It'll be wonderful. A great slogan. Capture everybody's imagination. This will be great. But he wanted to keep it a secret. You know, he wanted to surprise everybody. You know how it is when you think you've got something really special, and it's going to be a great surprise, and you're just so excited about it. And so he has all these T-shirts ready, you know, to hand out to the congregation. And he calls the senior minister up, and he calls all the staff up, and he calls the treasurer up, all right? And he says, okay, you get to be the first one. You're going to put on the new T-shirt. And she looks at the T-shirt, and she goes, putting this on? He goes, come on, it'll be great. You know what the shirt said? In small print, it says, I upped my pledge, and in big print, up yours. Nobody saw that coming. That you see, sometimes you have a good intention and it just doesn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. Yeah. I got fired from that job. No, it was not me. Peter has had some epic failures. All right, we are familiar with Peter's epic failures. Peter tries to walk on water, okay? There's an epic fail. You know the other disciples never let him live that one down. All right, at the end of the gospel, all right, remember that? Remember, he denies Jesus. Remember that? He denies him three times. He denies knowing Jesus three times in one night. It wasn't like it happened over 3 years. No, three times in one night. After he had been warned that he would do it. I mean, don't you think he would kind of like have figured that one out? Epic failure. Here, our passage today, we have another epic failure. Last week, whoa, way right answer. Remember, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And there's Jesus saying, you get the keys to the kingdom. You're rock. You're the man. All right, way to go. I mean, the very next, it's in the same passage. They haven't even had lunch yet. And all of a sudden, he's called Satan. Talk about a fall. Talk about an epic failure. It wasn't, Peter didn't fail because he didn't understand who Jesus was. He failed because he didn't understand what it meant for Jesus to be who he was. He didn't fully understand the mission. He didn't fully understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. And so Jesus says, this is what it's going to mean. And Peter's like, well, that can't be right. My Sunday school teacher never told me any of that stuff. There's suffering and death and rejection. No, there's glory and honor and angels and thrones. And we get thrones too. It's all worked out. It's somewhere. It's all going to be good. No. That's not it at all. And Jesus has to use this as a learning point for Peter and for the other disciples. He has to let them know what it means. Isn't it interesting that when you read the Bible and you read the book of Acts, okay, and what's happening to people when they give their lives to Jesus? What happens when you read the book of Acts? What's happened? They get persecuted. They're suffering. Some of them get killed. Terrible stuff is happening, all right? And what happens to the church? It grows. People can't get enough of it. You're like, who wants to sign up for suffering and death? Right over here. Over there we got hamburgers. Here we have suffering and death. And the people coming all over for suffering and death. They knew that what Jesus promised them was real. We look at the church, you look at a cross. A cross is not comfortable. A cross is not convenient. It's burden. It's heavy. It's difficult. What makes us think then that if a cross is not convenient and if a cross is not comfortable, that the Christian life is supposed to be convenient or the Christian life is supposed to be comfortable? No, it's not. No, it's not. I don't know about you, but don't you ever get annoyed people in the church? Not the minister, of course, but the other people. You know, the other people who act as if when they're giving their lives to God and they're doing God a favor. Do you ever meet people who act like they're doing God a favor? You know, there's no call to discipleship. There's not a willingness to do something they don't want to do. It's just a matter of if they feel like it at that moment. Could you imagine how that would work in other relationships? You know what I'm talking about? They're not deciders. They don't decide to follow Jesus. They're sliders. All right? They're sliders, not deciders. You know what I'm talking about? A sliding, sliding is, well, I'll pray if I feel like it. I'll give what I feel like it. I'll worship if it's convenient. You know what I'm talking about? No. How is that going to... Could you imagine calling your boss? I just don't feel like coming in today. I came in yesterday and I just wasn't fed. It just didn't reward me the way I wanted to be. Could you imagine how that's going to work? Huh? Or in your relationships with other people? Could you imagine how that works? I know Diana's never had that issue, ever. She's always been so thrilled to be married to me. Always. I'm just the best thing since sliced bread. No one's ever, never, ever. I could be wrong about that. I'm sure there's been more than just a few moments where I have presented a challenge and an opportunity she just as soon not have had. It happens though. It happens. Jesus is trying to be very clear about what the mission is. And what happens is Peter is trying to give to Jesus a shadow mission instead. Do you ever see how that happens in life? There's a mission, and then there's the shadow mission. And the shadow mission is never 180 degrees away from what the mission is. All right? It's easy to say something, Don, go rob a bank. Okay, no, I didn't get the best grades, but I know I'm not supposed to go rob a bank. All right? But Don, you could gossip just a little bit. It's a prayer concern. That's what it's a prayer concern. See how that can just see you. You're not 180 degrees off. You're just like maybe 5 degrees off. But if you follow 5 degrees off long enough, what happens? You are way off course. You're way away from what God intended us to be. Right? To be a disciple means that we're going to live a life that isn't not always convenient. It's not always comfortable. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it means we don't get to do or get to say the things that we want to do or want to say. It's hard. Some of you know this. Years ago, Andreas used to do gymnastics. Take him to gymnastics all the time, and he was good. Unbelievably, he was fantastic. He qualified for the Junior Olympics. Before he blew out his ankle, he qualified for the Junior Olympics. We're trying to figure it out. We got to get to New Orleans. Got this big... Thank God he busted his ankle. Well, wait. No, but when he was going through all the training, and he, three times, so now he's not allowed to do gymnastics at all, but... when he was going through the training and the other students and they were all going through it, sometimes they would complain. You ever work with kids who complain? It wasn't like that when I grew up. We never complained when I grew up, ever. Never whined, never complained, never. Anyway, and so sometimes they would complain. That's too hard. That's too difficult. I'm too tired. You're asking the hardest. And on and on and on. And then the coach would just point to the poster. And the poster would say, if gymnastics was easy, it would be called football. Is that not a great thing? Especially here in football territory. All right, it just, you know, if the Christian life was easy, everybody would be doing it. It's difficult to be a disciple. It's hard to be a disciple. If everything is just going peachy keen in your life, chances are you're not listening to Jesus. You're listening to a shadow voice. You're listening to somebody else tell you something that you want to hear. Isn't it a whole lot easier to hear that? I like it when people tell me what I want to hear. That's why I just listen to the voices in my head. It's just so much easier. Because I found out if you listen to other voices, they challenge you. Other voices sometimes will correct you. Other voices, sometimes God speaks to you through other voices. We see that time and again. It happened in the Bible. Remember the story of Esther? Remember Esther? Oh, we had the greatest Bible study on Esther a couple years ago. I am telling you. I was trying. You remember? I thought I was the leader. I learned more from those people. I had no idea the things they were telling me about what all of those things meant. I thought I knew, but I didn't know. And it's not stuff I can share in a sanctuary because we already have people online listening to this and they can't hear all of that stuff that we talked about there in Esther. But what happens with that? Remember Esther? She was an orphan and then she ends up in the harem and then she ends up as a queen. Remember, that's the storyline of her life. That's the arc of her life. And now she's finally queen and she's at the top. She's got success. She's got everything going her way. And then that stinking cousin Mordecai. Do you ever have things going just so smoothly and wonderful, and here comes somebody, you know, Esther, you have an opportunity. Remember how that worked out? He was trying to correct her because she was in danger of falling into a shadow mission. To come into the real mission requires total devotion. It requires total risk. And she was saying that. Tomorrow she goes, I can't do that. Are you crazy? This king is crazy. He's already banished the other. There could be banishment. There could be death. All kinds of terrible things can happen. I can't listen to you. You got to do this for such a time as this, Esther. For such a time as this, you are needed. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be a disciple, is to recognize there are a lot of things going on out there in the world. It is not our fault. It is not our fault. But it is our time. It is our time. It is not our fault that there are people who are hungry, but it is our time. And you go to the store, and it's a buy one, get one, and you put it in there, and you put it in there, and then it goes somewhere, and you know where it ends up? It ends up in a hungry person's belly. It's not your fault then that there's hunger out in the world. It's not your fault that a hurricane wipes out, but you have an opportunity. You say, you know what? I got a little bit of extra money. I don't need to go to Starbucks every single day. I can give a little bit more. I could sacrifice a little bit here. I can do a little bit over there. It's not your fault, but it is your time. This is your opportunity to make a difference. There are children here in Palm Beach County. There are children in our communities who do not know that they are loved. There are children in our communities who are struggling with school. They don't have anyone at home taking time to help them with their homework assignment, helping them learn how to read or do the math or anything like that. And you have an opportunity to give a word of affirmation. Maybe you're retired. You can volunteer. Maybe you could be a tutor. You have an opportunity. There are people out there who are going to end up in prison because there are adults in here who aren't going to take the time. There's all kinds of ways to reach out to other people. You can do it through the Scouts. You can do it through Junior Achievement. Do they still have Junior Achievement? They can do it through things like... There's all kinds of ways in which we are able to reach out to other people. It's not our fault that there's that situation, but it is our time to make a difference. That's what we're called to do, to make a difference, to give ourselves wholly and fully over to God. Is it convenient? No. Is it comfortable? No. Is it faithful? Yes. And that's what we're called to be. To be faithful. To make a difference. To recognize that what's going on out in the world may not be our fault, but it is our time. This is our opportunity to claim the mission Jesus has for each of us. And he's quite clear about that. It is going to cost you 100% fully devoted to God. Fully devoted. 95% is not, it's going to take you off course. You're going to lose your direction. You give yourself over 100%. You surrender completely to Christ. And you trust where he leads you. Because one of the things we forget when we read this passage, I skipped right over it the first time I read it. When Jesus talks about the rejection, and Jesus talks about the suffering, and Jesus talks about the death, and then you know what he says? And on the third day be raised. On the third day be raised. Jesus is not promising us suffering and death. He's promising us resurrection. He is offering us a life that has meaning and fulfillment and purpose. And all you have to do to claim it is surrender to it. You cannot get there by avoiding your shadow mission. You can only get there by fully devoting yourselves to the mission God has placed before each of us. Each of us have that opportunity. It may not be our fault, but it is our time. Claim your time. Claim the discipleship Jesus has laid before you. Amen.